How are y'all doing? Good, great. I love it. I know you guys are doing good because we've heard you sing. Fantastic. It really is a blessing to be here, and I just, the love and the, I don't know, the energy that's put into the worship, into the singing, into the prayers, and you just know that truly God is in this place. And so welcome to each and every one of you. As we come to worship, let us be reminded that we have a special privilege. It's one that's been given to all of humanity. Well, we accept it together on a morning like this, and that's the privilege to pray. That we can lift up our fears that we have, we can lift up our concerns, we can ask God to help us to leave behind the things that separate us. We ask for forgiveness of our sins, that we can be closer to God. And we lift up our friends, those who are in need. And we have some prayer requests that we received this morning. John Costner, this is a friend of Keith Ivey, and let us keep John in our prayers for some heart problems that he's having. And here's a Thanksgiving. Thank you for the prayers for Lisa Davis's dad, Elmer Schuster. His surgery went well, and he is home, and he is recovering. That is wonderful. And then Susan Powell asked that we pray for her friend and sister in Christ, Pastor Veronica Grenade, who is quite ill and has been sick since our visit to the Holy Land. Yes, Veronica is quite sick, and she has not been able to preach, and will probably not be able to return to the pulpit for quite some time, and let us keep her in our prayers. And now let us go to the Lord, our God, in prayer. Almighty and holy God, truly blessed are we that we can gather together in your name, that you have called us. You have called us from our beds. You have called us from our homes all across this world, that we may come and be one with you in Jesus Christ, one in worship. Help us, dear Lord, that we may lay down our burdens. We may put aside our anger and all that bends us away from you and your grace. We ask for your healing within our mind and our body and our spirit. We pray for those we've lifted up in our prayer list and those we've named today. We pray for those we've kept close to our hearts, but you know. We ask you, dear Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be with us. You'll be our strength. You'll be our guide this morning, and the power that wakes us and brings us forth into the world each day in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, for the victims of the fires that are raging in California, and we lift up the families of the firefighters those have lost their lives, and the men and women and the first responders and our armed forces who stand between us and evil or come to our aid and in our desperate times. We pray for them, and we pray for their families, and we give thanks to you that there are those among us who will stand apart. We ask you that you will guide our nation. And we pray and we lift up this morning that as we worship in love and one and oneness and togetherness, there are those who march and rally in the name of separation and in their anger and in their fear. We pray for your peace to be upon them and to be upon us. We desperately need the guidance of our Lord. So we open up our hearts and we pray for this world. And we ask that you will hear us as one heart and one voice as we lift up the prayer that your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John. It's chapter 6. We'll read verse 35 to remind us where we're at in the story, and then we'll pick up with 41 and read through 49. Before we start, didn't you love the psalm, the reading of the psalms that we had? I mean, just praise the Lord with all you have, with all our might, with all our soul. That even in the worst of times, we can take ourselves to God, because God is present in this life. Jesus is having a conversation, probably a rather heated one, as we pick up from where we were last week when Jesus had fed the 5,000 and had begun to teach about how people needed to take and that He was the bread of life. The one that would give life to the world. And the response is kind of mixed. But it's one thing we need to realize when we look at the Gospel of John, the way it is written is for, well, it's written in the context of a particular time, and we do believe it's in a probably Ephesus, the city of Ephesus. And there's a conflict going on. Imagine that, a conflict going on. And but the Jewish Christians and the devout Jews who don't see Christ as Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, they're having a fight, and the ones who are seeking Christ and see Christ are having the trouble of being forced out of the synagogue. And so when the Gospel of John reads and says the word "the Jews," it has a pretty harsh tone to it. But everybody in the whole story is a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. All of the disciples, Jews. Everyone is a Jew. The difference is that these are a particular group of religious leaders who are standing in the way of the gospel. And so they get singled out, and you can hear it in their voices, and you can hear it in the conversation between Jesus and these people. But let us not use the beautiful Gospel of John for an excuse for anti-Semitism or any kind of hate. Because as it's often said, the Gospel of John is the gospel of love. Also, as we read, I want to go over the word incarnation, and I realize that y'all understand about the incarnation, but the incarnation is Jesus. It is fully God coming together in humanity, coming together in the flesh and the blood and the mind and the life of Jesus. Fully man, fully human, fully God. God comes to our life. God comes to our world. We cannot go to God. But God has come to us. And He's come to us in Jesus Christ, and we have if you ever want a revelation of what God is and what would God do and think and say, we just have to look at Jesus. And most likely we'll be challenged as we do. For humanity is always challenged by God to do something greater, to be something greater. And the words of eternal life is when we spend time with God, when we are living with God. So right now, as we live with God and we seek His ways and we seek to fulfill the love of God within us, we are living eternal life. Eternal life is time spent with Almighty God. And so from the day that we first recognized and needed Christ and we opened up our hearts to God, We've been living in eternal life. And now let us go to our scripture. Verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And in verse 41, then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for this life and the life of the world is my flesh. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. If we had read a little further, we would have heard about Jesus saying, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. He says, you must drink my blood and abide in me, and I will abide in you. I live because of the Father, and so whoever eats of me will live because of me. Now, I don't know about you guys, but the language there is a little bit different. In the early days, I mean, people sometimes asked and argued about the Christians, and they said, well, are they cannibals? You know, they're told to go and eat flesh. I mean, that sounds a little... Is anyone else disturbed about that idea? But of course, it means so much more, doesn't it? To consume the flesh of Christ and to drink of His blood is an analogy and a calling for each and every one of us to consume Christ, to literally live off of what Jesus brings to us and the life that He brings to us. And we all know that the food that we eat has a lot to do with who we are. It can make us strong or it can make us weak. And Christ is saying to feast on Him that we may truly be alive in God. It is an incredible and out-of-this-world offering that Jesus is making. But it's also hard to understand, and it's hard to understand because God is so much further and above every single one of us that unless it is revealed to us, revealed in the life of Christ, revealed in the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, revealed in the life of the people we see and we meet, unless it is revealed to us, let's face it, God is too big for us. But yet, God has come, and God is here, and we are blessed. And Jesus says, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And there was for the first couple of centuries, Christians were very guarded about who got to come to communion. And in fact, everybody was welcomed into worship, but when it came time to have communion, to have a drink of the elements, the wine and the bread, they'd run everybody else out because it was a very sacred moment. But the rumor got out that the Christians were running everybody out so they could eat flesh and drink blood. A little bit of knowledge can really give us the wrong impression, can it? And I think that's what's happened here with the religious leaders as they're listening to Jesus. And now these are devout people. let's just call them Bible scholars. I mean, they've been studying the Bible. They worship Yahweh. They care deeply about it. But they have a certain expectation that has been drilled into them. And Jesus doesn't meet their expectation. Here they've been studying about God all of their lives, and they've been worshiping Him in the temple. And yet, when He comes in front of them, they don't see Him. And sometimes I think that is something that plagues us, that plagues the church. We have expectations of who Jesus is and who God is, and sometimes we really want to keep it very small and very clean. If you look at the art that was made for the first, really, 2,000 years of Christianity, God is up on a throne, and it's magnificent. And it's so far away, you can't touch it. There's nothing within our own realm of reality about it. And there is that part. God is beyond time. Time is part of creation. And God exists beyond this. And almost every religion, they see God as being so far away. But Christianity, we know that God came to earth. We know that God took on the flesh, that God bled, that God loved Jesus of Nazareth. We know that in Jesus Christ, born as a child, raised with parents, ran around with the other kids, was dusty and dirty, and he went to the synagogue, and then when they got the chance, they made the journey into Jerusalem, worked hard, made a living, sweat. And this is possibly the vision that these guys are getting when they hear of Jesus coming. Because they're saying, hey, we know your dad, we know your mom. They just lived down the road from us. You didn't come from heaven. A little bit of knowledge can block God from us. Sometimes we like to keep it so clean and so easy that we just literally want to be baptized, which is, we need to be baptized. We need to recognize. We need to shout out to the world who Christ is in our lives. But then we just let it stop right there. We don't take the vision of God out into the world. We don't take the gift that God has put within us out into the world. We know the New Testament could be one page long, but it's not. It's filled with the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ, because God has some work to do in this world, and He's going to do it through His people, through you and through me. But we have to realize that God is not just sitting up on a cloud. That God's love has driven Him, however, I don't know, to come down and to live and to be with us and to suffer with us. We know that it's the body of Christ, and that's how Paul describes the church, the body of Christ, that we are the living, mortal hands and feet of Christ in the world. So in other words, the world is supposed to find Christ by seeing and hearing from the church. But are they seeing God? Are they seeing God in the church? We like a very clean God. We like a very separated God. And sometimes we just want to keep ourselves maybe out of the mix, not engaged. Or maybe we just feel a little too embarrassed about our other life. But the reality of it is, God came to the world in Jesus Christ. And if the people who have the Holy Spirit within them are the body of Christ, then let me ask you, can you see Christ in the one who earns a living by digging a ditch? Can you see Christ by the one who mows your lawn? Can we see Christ in the oil fields? Can we see Christ in the skyscrapers and the executives and making decisions and the hiring and the firing and the opportunities? Can we see Christ in people on Wall Street? Can we see Christ if we go to the hospital and see the one who's cleaning up after a messy surgery? Can we see Christ in that person? Can we see Christ in the surgeon who wields the scalpel, who changes life or saves life? Is the world seeing Christ in us? Because we have an incarnate God. We have a God who thinks so much of this world and the people within it that literally came and took part time in history, and by the Holy Spirit and His love continues in the church and throughout the world. But can we see Him? Or have we inoculated ourselves just enough that we really can't catch the full dose of Jesus Christ? Maybe the teachings and the desires of Christ, you know, this is the guy that would step out of bounds. This is the guy that would confront teachings that were being misused. This is the guy who actually loved everybody. What's up with that? This is the guy who demonstrated to us who in God's mind is the perfect human being. The one that we're supposed to be. The one that we're created to be. We have been created to be something much more than we are. We have been called. And yes, God is at work here and now. And God has dirty fingernails. And God has windblown hair. And maybe God sleeps under a bridge. And God attends church. God is looking to change this world, but He can't do it if we will not take fully this Christ. By His own decision, God has chosen you and me and everyone else to be His hands and His feet into this world. And we wonder how in the world we can do this. We do it with the Scriptures. But, you know, the Bible scholars, they had the Scriptures. But they also had such a preconception of who God was that they didn't even recognize when Christ came to them. So we need to stay and to live in the Scriptures, but we need to invite the Holy Spirit with us. That we do not use and abuse the words that have been given to us, but we grow in them and we feast on them and we become alive in them. How do we abide in Christ? We abide in Christ by being Christ to the world, by loving people in the world, by giving of ourselves. Is that not Christ-like? And we abide in Christ by looking for God in the people around us. When you got up this morning, did you think that you might see God? Did you think you might run into Christ and the people that you met? Look for God. When that beautiful sunrise appears, look at it and give thanks. When we fry the eggs, the bacon, or maybe you eat healthier than I do, give thanks. God is the author of life. Christ is the meal and the portion. He is calling us. It's almost like He's begging us, come and to feast upon me. Take me inside of you. So let us let nothing get in the way between us and Jesus Christ. Let us make sure that our prayers of thanksgiving, our prayers of concerns and lifting them up to people, for other people. Let us continue to pray for the church. Let us continue to pray for the work that we're doing. And let us continue to seek to feast on Christ that we may love the world like God has loved us. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our closing hymn today, And this is the day when you will be joining the congregation. We joyfully invite you forward. Or if you'd like to spend time in the chancel rail at prayer, please do so.
Stand with me as we sing number 337 in your hymnal. 337, Only Trust Him.
Moments that we have, as Steve, Becky, and Tim are asking to join our congregation. Now, they are already members of the universal body of Jesus Christ. They've been baptized into Christ, and their membership is at Paradise Baptist Church, First Baptist Church in Paradise. And we are so glad to have them come forward and to join our congregation. Please sit down. I'm sorry. But I have just a few quick questions for you, okay? As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? And as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? May I introduce to our congregation Steve, Becky, Timothy Horton. God bless you and welcome. I think we're going to need one more round of that song so our acolyte can take the light and we'll follow it out.
Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land, where joy's immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Now please rise to the benediction. Let us take this into the world, that the Lord your God is with you and in you. Abide in Him. Eat of Him. Be strong in Him. Because the world needs to see Him in each and every one of us. Go forth and show them Christ. Amen.